in verse 31, excuse me, it says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory." And you know, we've seen before the word angels we have to be careful with, because it means messengers. And an angel's a messenger, people are messengers, Christ Himself is a messenger. And the context determines how it should be understood. And here, the translators were thinking angels, spirit beings, and that's why they translated it as angels. But the Bible tells us many times that Christ will come with who? 10,000s of His saints. And the word holy is the word saint. It's the word saint. 1 Corinthians 6 tells us, "Know ye not that the saints will judge the world?" And that's, and then it goes on to say, if you will judge the world and angels, how much more will can you judge in small matters? You know, in our everyday lives. Because we are going to judge the world with Him. And here we have Christ seated upon the throne of His glory with the holy angels. Now if you go back to Matthew 19, in verse 27, it says, "Then answered Peter and said unto Him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed Thee. What shall we have therefore?" Excuse me. Now, you know, that sounds familiar, because a lot of people forsook much. I don't know if anyone really forsook all. Guess it's possible. But a lot of people forsook much to follow Christ and getting out the warning message of May 21. And it's no different. You know, we don't deserve any kind of special reward for that. That's actually normative. Normative. Because God says at all times we're to take up our cross and follow Him. We're to give everything at all times. What happened in May 21 was that circumstances arose where finally we were motivated and moved to do what we should have done all along, to some degree, or, you know, to more or less degree in each of our lives. And for people then to get upset because they gave their money or their time or put into this, well, it just doesn't follow, because really we should have done that. We should be doing it now in feeding sheep. We should have done it all along in our lives as a Christian, and God's in control of that. Oh, thank you, Stanley. Well, anyway, Peter is coming to Him, and the disciples of that day did it, and they forsook all and followed Thee. What shall we have? And Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed Me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory," that's what Matthew 25 said, that He's seated in the throne of His glory, "ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel," Christ and His people. We judge the world with Him. We should know that. That the question is that, "Know ye not that the saints will judge the world?" We judge the world with Him, and we're seated upon 12 thrones, is one way God puts it. But what's another way of putting it? That when we become saved, look at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Excuse me. And it says in verse 5, "Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we, when we, anyone becomes saved, we're transported spiritually into heavenly places to be seated in Christ, and where He is, we are. Now, the problem that a lot of people have with Matthew 25 is they're thinking it's the end of all things. It is the end. It's the end of God's salvation plan. It's judgment day. But the 5 months has to be factored in. And we're still here. And yet judgment day was May 21, continues to October 21. So how can we be judging with Him? Well, God saved all of His elect. And then all of them were seated in heavenly places in Christ. If we go to back to Matthew 25, in verse 32, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Another way of saying that is the wheat from the tares. When was the wheat and the tares finally, completely, forever separated? May 21. May 21, everyone in the church was bundled like for the fire. As soon as we went from the judgment began on the house of God to the judgment on the whole world, that bundle of tares was cast into the fire and they were slain. Spiritually, no more hope for anyone that was in the churches, because they were in a condition where there was no salvation. And then what was true of the church for 23 years is now true of all the world. Judgment began there, transition into all the nations, and now they're killed. So God separated the sheep from the goats. Also, is another way of saying it, on May 21. And here we're finding ourselves talking a lot about sheep. We're sheep is, we're seeing that in many places in the Bible. And here, Christ separates the sheep from the goats. And it says in verse 33, and He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. So the sheep go over here and the goats go over there. And you know, we have this picture that this is going on. Here's Christ. And now He's separating them and He's just pushing them all off to that side. And the rest are going off to this side. But it's very important that the sheep are put on the right hand, because that means they're saved. All of God's elect are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where is Christ seated? If we look at Psalm 110, it tells us in verse 1, and this is actually said a few times, Jehovah said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. So Christ is seated at the right hand of God. All of God's elect are seated in Him at His right hand and judging the world with Him. So basically, you know, we could say the sheep are judging the world. That God is emphasizing this is a time of feeding sheep. Yeah, but we can't forget also that He's using sheep to bring that judgment. And Lord willing, a little later we'll talk about how the sheep are being used to bring the judgment on the world. But that just, I think, reinforces that we're on the right track, because we're talking about sheep. And here on Judgment Day, the sheep are with Him. It doesn't take long, for once God saved everyone, He made that final division by May 21, and immediately they're all right here. They're all at the right hand of God, seated in heavenly places in Christ. Then they're the holy messengers judging with him. And that's what's going on today. Just one other thing about sheep. On May 21, we knew the door shut. Right? That was the equivalent date, 17th day of the second month of Noah's calendar, when God shut him in. And it's true, he didn't use the word door in Genesis 7. It just says he shut him in, referring to Noah. But what did he shut? If you look at that word, shut, it often is used in connection with a door or gate. It's the word where it says that he that shutteth no man can open, and he that openeth no man can shut. And in Revelation, it then goes on to talk about a door. So the context determines what is being shut. Like it said of Israel, that they were shut in the wilderness. Okay, the wilderness, it meant they had their backs against the Red Sea. And obviously you knew what was shut. They had no way of escape. But the ark, the context demands, there was the door. There was only one door. Only one door. They all went into the door, into the ark, the people and the animals. And then on the day the rain began and the flood came, God shut them in. He is referring to the door. And we made the connection many times with John chapter 10, where it says in verse 9, I am the door. And that's Jesus who's speaking. And we realize, all right, it's the door of heaven, that the door shut. It did shut on May 21. Therefore, no one can ever enter into heaven again, because God completed his salvation plan. But the first time I noticed it, maybe you noticed it before, I never noticed it. John 10 has everything to do with sheep. Everything to do with sheep. He's the good shepherd. And look at verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold. The sheepfold, the door that's in view, is the door to the sheepfold. And that context is kept. But he that entereth in by the door, Christ, is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Let's see, in verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, into what? The sheepfold. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. So the door, it is the door to heaven. But the door to heaven isn't some door to some glorious mansion. It's a door to a sheepfold. You go in only by God's grace, as he draws you and brings you in, and you're a sheep, and he's the door. And he shut the door to the sheepfold on May 21, because all the sheep were gathered, all collected, and never again would there be another sheep that was lost that had to be found. And then, here we are. You know, we're in a sense in the wilderness, just awaiting this final feast, the feast of ingathering, the feast of tabernacles. But I just wanted to mention that because it's so obvious. It's so obvious, and maybe, you know, sometimes God can hide very obvious things, like he said to the disciples very plainly, and they missed it. And so here we've been talking about as the door to heaven, and he's the way, the truth, and the life, and it's a door to a sheepfold. Okay, yes, Bob.
Question is, what really happened to Satan and his devils after May 21?
Okay, that's a good question. What happened was to Satan that he was given authority, and rule in the churches when the Great Tribulation or Judgment began on the church, May 21, 1988. But that authority, that rule was given for the duration of the Great Tribulation. It's called 42 months in Revelation 11. In the book of Jeremiah, it speaks of the end of 70 years. And then the king of Babylon would be judged. And there are synonyms for the 23-year Great Tribulation we just went through. And on May 21, God judged him, put him down, and he's a spirit being. So he was not destroyed, but God uses language as though he were killed and his body is now exposed and put to an open shame. But that's just language to help us understand that God lifted him up. He exalts the basis of men. And the king of Babylon was a base man. It typified Satan. And he puts them down. And that's what's going on. Christ himself took the kingdom on May 21 of 2011. He's ruling the whole earth. He's always, been sovereign. But he gave authority to Satan. Now, it doesn't mean that everything necessarily is going to go perfectly for us. Remember, Daniel, after the Babylonian kingdom fell, the very next chapter, there's Darius, who's very favorable to Daniel. He likes Daniel. He lifted him up to a high position. But still, Daniel went through maybe his most severe trial as he was cast into the lion's den. And that was due to the wicked men that were still in the kingdom. And so we can have trouble. But Daniel was protected, and so will all God's people be protected. Look at Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, and this is how protected we are. It says in Isaiah 40, in verse 10, "Behold, the Lord Jehovah will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." So there are the sheep of God in his bosom, in his strong and mighty arm. So there's definitely nothing to worry or fear. We're as secure as anything could be. But thank you for that question.
Next question is, do you know what this verse means? Exodus 23:19b, "Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk."
No, I've looked at that, and I've also heard Mr. Camping talk about it, but I don't know. I think I have notes in another Bible, but it definitely didn't stay in my mind, so I can't help you with that. Thank you.
There's another question. Lourdes, please post your question. Where is Satan now? That's the question.
Well, he's doing what he always has done. He's going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. He's trying to do what he's always done, disrupt the kingdom of God, to come against the people of God. That's always been his goal. But one thing.
Chris, can you repeat that, please? Because we lost the sound for about 10 seconds. Just start with your answer again.
Well, I didn't really get very far into it. Satan, he exists. He was not killed. You know, look at Revelation 19. Revelation 19 says in verse 20, "And the beast was taken," and the beast is Satan's name primarily for the Great Tribulation, his rule in the church. But also, remember, there were two beasts. One came up out of the sea, and then a second beast came up in Revelation 13, looked like a lamb, or had horns like a looked like a lamb, but spake like a dragon, something like that, indicating it identified with Christ, and that particularly had to do with the church. So here, this Revelation 19, the marriage supper of the Lamb, is looking at May 21, Judgment Day, and finally October 21, Judgment Day. The fowls are coming because God defeated the army of Satan. He slew the king. He took his kingdom. And so we have dead bodies everywhere. And the fowls of heaven are called to feast. They begin to feast on May 21 on the church. One third of all the world is slain. Two thirds are not yet killed. And that's why verse 21 says, "And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse." The word remnant means those that were left. Those were left. It's the same thing in Revelation 9. The rest of the men is the same word. Those that were left will be slain, just like these were, but on October 21, because it's not until then that it's known who these rest of the men are, because that great multitude's mixed in out there in the world, and we don't know, could be anyone. Could be anyone, unlike we know definitely with the church, they're killed. They're killed. But with the rest of the world, we don't know, so we have to wait until the very last day of the 5 months till God makes that clear. Then they're slain the same way, and their bodies are given to the fowls. So Armageddon, or the Battle of Judgment Day, began May 21. There's dead bodies everywhere spiritually. And then on October 21, it concludes with even more dead and the fowls again. It's all spiritual as God is viewing it. But it says in verse 19, "I saw the beast and the kings of the earth." No, I'm sorry, verse 20. "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet." And that false prophet identifies with the church. "They wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone." So they're alive, but they're in a lake of fire. They're not dead. They didn't cease to be. They still have conscious existence. But they're under the wrath of God, burning with fire. It's spiritual. The fire and brimstone is currently falling. And so if you want to know about Satan, he's being shamed by God that his power has been taken away. And now that's being exposed. And he doesn't like to hear that at all. And remember, the number one thing with Satan, if you want to hurt him, can't hurt him physically. He doesn't have a body. How do you hurt him? His pride. He's so proud to take his seat as the man of sin in the temple, showing himself he is God. And now God just, right down to hell, or that's the language that's used. You're nobody. Your authority's all gone. You're nothing. And it really is a severe judgment against him in his pride. And so he's alive. He's dead in one sense. God speaks of him, but he still has conscious existence. Okay, thank you for that question. Anyone else here or on Pal Talk have anything? Bob?
Psalm 102.
Excuse me. Psalm 102.
Verses 18 to 20.
Okay. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise Jehovah. For he has looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did Jehovah behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death.
Yeah, I just wanted to point that verse out. I believe that in verse 18, to come is the word latter generation, the latter generation. And then verse 20 is interesting in that it's talking about prisoners, to loose the prisoners.
Yeah.
If you could just comment on that.
Well, this is what has happened. God did this on that great day of May 21. He loosed all of the captives that were elect. All of them have been freed and loosed. And the Bible has just a lot to say about it. And the idea of, I mean, that's what the gospel is likened to. In Isaiah 42, in verse 6, I, Jehovah, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. And that's how God speaks of his salvation plan. Okay. Anyone else have anything? Yes, Louisa. Okay, we'll do this first and then Louisa. Isaiah 25? 29? Isaiah 29? excuse me, 17 and 18. Is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest? And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. And what's your question? Well, yeah, but this is true of salvation. You're looking at the phrase "in that day." Well, I don't know. May 21 was the greatest day of salvation, as far as God delivering His people. So He could focus in on that, but this does have to do with salvation. And in that sense, it would relate to May 21. But thank you, Bob. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me, Louisa. See, my memory is like 30 seconds.
I think my memory is getting worse.
Less than 30 seconds?
Well, I'm always reminded of this lady I heard a long time ago that she kept reading the scriptures, and people said, "But can you remember all that?" And she said, "I will do the reading, and the Lord will do the remembering."
Yeah.
Okay. I brought this up to Brother Camping at one time, and to Pastor Otero when he was still working in Family Radio. Brother Camping didn't seem to agree with me, but Dr. Otero did. Okay, I was wondering if Jesus could have used Lazarus to show us a picture of himself. Okay, and the scriptures are Luke 16:20, John 1:18, and John 21:20.
No, you mean the rich man? that Lazarus, Lazarus, the poor, the rich man, and Lazarus, the beggar?
Yes, because J.P. Green says poor man, and when I looked up the concordance, it could be poor man or beggar.
No.
J.P. Green used the word poor man, and also...
No. Luke 16 is a parable between the rich man and the poor man, which actually points to those that are who think they're rich spiritually. They think they have salvation. They think they have the abundance of riches in Christ, which would be the multitudes in the churches.
Okay.
And there's many, like, look at Revelation 3. The poor man, on the other hand, is representative of the true believers who, in the world's sight, were the lowest of the low. And we had a good lesson on that this, you know, leading up to May 21 and May 21, how despised those can be who bring the truth of the Bible. And Lazarus is representative of God's people, the elect.
Well, this is what I told Brother Camping, that I believe that it starts always with Jesus first as a man, when he came as both God and man. But
if you go down to verse 23, and in hell or in the grave, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom.
Yes, yes.
Now, Abraham is a picture of God the Father. Mm-hmm. But actually, we find in the Bible, if I can find the verse, it's in Genesis. Let's see. Keyword, bosom.
Yes.
In Genesis, speaking of Hagar, Sarah is saying to Abraham, in Genesis, when Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham to wife. 16:5. Genesis 16. Yeah, thank you. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. This is literally Abraham's bosom. Right? And who's given into his bosom? A wife. It's a wife. Lazarus represents the elect people of God who are the bride of Christ.
Okay, how about
so
John?
So we're in Abraham's bosom.
Right.
And also remember that verse in Isaiah? Where did Christ put his sheep? Where did he put that lamb?
Yeah, that's why
in
I'm reminded.
Bosom.
Yes, yes. So the key word is
and
bosom.
That's where
how about
Lazarus
John 1:18? This is what I said to Brother Camping. John 1:18.
John
1:18.
John 1. Fourth
John
Gospel,
1,
verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him.
Yes.
Well, that's true of Christ. But remember, we are in his bosom. So if he's in the Father's bosom, so are we.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's not Lazarus is not Jesus. What Lazarus is a picture of is believers now. Believers mm-hmm. now, mm-hmm. because he dies. Mm-hmm. Now we have to get. Now first of all, it's a parable, which
right,
means you have
right.
to look for the spiritual meaning.
Right.
And we realize when we went to Revelation 9:6, many will seek death and not find it. Speaking of this time, that it's death in Christ. The poor man dies first. God saved all of his elect. They all found death in Christ. The rich man dies next. Judgment day. There is no more salvation, so that kills the third part in the churches. And then there is Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, a place where the sheep are protected, a place for the bride of Christ. And there is the rich man desiring a drop of water, which is the gospel, send Lazarus, that messenger boy, and give us a little drop of water. And the answer is it's an impossibility. There's no way, because there's a great gulf fixed between us and you. Now, here's a key thing. If you look at Luke 16, in verse 26, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. They which would, that word means desire. Now, do people in heaven desire to go against the will of God? God, I mean, it's an impossibility. Do they have some longing that they would love to bring the gospel to those in torment if they could? No, they don't know anything about it. But do people here who are true believers have that desire? Haven't we been hearing a lot of that? What do people want to do? They want the possibility that there's still salvation so that we can bring the message to the world. So that there's some hope. So and that's all of our desire. We would want that. But the answer is no. No. It goes on to say, they which would pass from hence to you cannot. You can't sow the seed. You can't bring the gospel anymore. No one's going to be saved. It's over. And it also helps explain where the rich man got his eyes, why he has conscious existence, and so forth. It actually fits better than that he physically died and went into a grave.
And also, when Christ raised up Lazarus from the dead, it reminds me of him.
No, forget
the
Christ.
Father. He the has, Father.
The only thing
the Father
he's
raising
in Christ,
the Son.
It is
the
not a picture of Jesus at all. Okay, thank you, Louisa.
Hold on. Verse 21 of Luke 21.
Louisa, it won't fit.
No, I'm saying this desiring to be fed. I heard somebody said he's like a beggar. He's eating trash, garbages.
No, it won't fit. It is not.
I'm just saying this verse, okay?
I know, but it
somebody
won't fit.
Somebody exaggerated that he was eating trash, okay? But it says desiring to be fed. Didn't say he ate the crumbs. Desiring. Yeah. Because the Pharisees were wasting the crumbs, right?
Thank you.
The poor man would be in this 5 months right now. As the knowledge comes to them, they want the word of God, the water, and
the rich man wants the water. Now, this is all from God's perspective. It doesn't necessarily mean these things. Like, there's people out there wanting the true gospel necessarily. It's from God's perspective that if they had understanding of what's going on, that they would be requesting this.
The locusts will be looking for giving the milk to the new Christian, and this they were saved, but the rich man is looking for a word of God because he knows what's going on now, and that is the locust stinging the man from the mouth is just the milk that is going out and going to go in the 5 months to people like the rich man. And sorrowing in that issue, Thumb Strong's, is he is suffering. Mm. It has nothing to do with anything else. He is suffering. That is sorrow there.
No.
So that would be the stinging of the tail. They will sting men from their mouth in this 5 months. And that will be you just trying to get the simple word out there and the fact that there is no salvation.
Well, we're going to talk about that hopefully in the next study, exactly how the believers are bringing the judgment, which is what you're referring to, the sting of the locusts, because the locusts are the true believers. And actually, it's not even in what we're proclaiming at all. It's in what God has done. And we'll try to get into that next time.
But our mouth has to take the word of God out there in the 5 months. The people that didn't really know, the one like the rich man, he thought everything was cool until the 5 months. Not mm-hmm. because he didn't know he's saved, was because hearing the clear word of what has taken place and made possible the Lord moving a little bit in the vision of the people in the churches and the people basically that's been reading the Bible. And it may spread as you teach the milk, looking for the new Christians, and it will get out as you hit a person that wants to hear it, which is a person that's not going to be saved, and he's going to be worried about it. He's going to go to church, ask his preacher. That's going to spread around.
But I don't know if everyone is going to hear about this or not. It, you know, great tribulation was on the church, and they were pretty much ignorant of it. And 5 months of torment is on the world, and pretty much the world is ignorant of it, as well as the churches.
How does the locust sting with their
tails?
Well,
again, if I tell you now, then people are... we're going to try and get into that during the next study. But right now, we're going to break. Okay, let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for today. Thank you for your word. We ask that you would bless your word to each of us. And we pray for our families and those we know. And may it be that you did do a work of salvation in them. And we don't know how that will manifest itself. We don't know if it would be seen in a week or a month or 5 months. It will have to be before the 5 months is up, but maybe we won't ever know. It's something that you have done, and so we thank you, Father, for that hope, that we can continue to pray and hope for these people, and we ask for your help and your blessing, and thank you for your protection, for the great security of being under your care. And once again pray that you would bless your word as we continue to study from the Bible. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Oh, we're going to take about 10-minute break.